I'll tell you what, y'all, this last weekend here in Oregon was amazing, as the summers usually are here in Oregon. And I'm pumped about this podcast today. One thing that I love to do, and also I hear this feedback from you guys all the time in the iTunes reviews and the reviews everywhere else, and emails and Facebook messages I get from everybody, that they love case studies. You guys love case studies. You love to hear someone else's journey on their successes, their failures, the things that they went through, the trials, the tribulations, and what got them to where they are. And so I'm bringing on another one of our amazing clients, RJ Bates with Titanium Investments today. And RJ is one of the top investors in Dallas, Texas, but also he's branched out into multiple markets. He's in the Hawaii market. He's in the Anchorage, Alaska market now, and one back Midwest. And we discuss his journey here, and his journey is it's one that was really interesting. I found it fascinating because he's a guy who kind of found himself falling into house flipping and wholesaling. He didn't set out to do that. He was a roofing contractor, hustling, selling roofs. And then one of his clients said, "Hey, can you also fix this rehab house?" And he's like, "Man, I think that's a good business opportunity." Before you know it, he's running a $2 million plus a year wholesaling and house flipping company based in Dallas, Texas, but in four different markets. And you're going to hear his journey, you're going to hear his trials, you're going to hear the things that he failed on early on. You're going to hear why he has a business partner and how they work together. And you're also going to hear what works best for him for his marketing mix. He uses online a lot. He uses Facebook a lot. He's going to talk about that. But he also breaks down the other things that are working insanely well in this cluttered market for him, even when he enters into new markets. Okay, last, how does he enter into new markets? Because he's just one guy with a business partner in Dallas there. How is it that he's entering into these new markets? Well, he talks about how he's finding his boots on the ground, people, business partners in those markets, and how he structures it. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to welcome in RJ Bates from Titanium Investments into this podcast. But before I do, I met him actually at a mastermind down in Dallas. It's a mastermind we're both a part of. And he had a chance to come to a Carrot gathering, a Carrot meetup that we held there, Carrot client meetup. And it was a blast meeting him and Cassie, his business partner, and so many other investors. I'm going to be back in Dallas in August. And so we're going to hold another Carrot gathering. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, keep an eye out on Facebook, on Instagram, on email. Go follow me on Instagram. Go to Instagram.com/TrevorMock. Instagram.com/Trevor.Mock. That's M-A-U-C-H. Follow me on Instagram because I'm going to be telling you guys where and when that Carrot meetup is going to happen. Okay. We're going to all get together, probably 20, 30, 40, 50 of us, hang out, share fellowship. Me and Adrian Nez on my team will be there. We'll let you know when and where in Dallas, Fort Worth in August. All right. Without further ado, RJ Bates. Hey, everybody, got an amazing guest with me today on the Carrot Cast. And one of the things that you guys, the listeners and the viewers of the Carrot Cast, depending on if you're listening to it or watching it on YouTube, one of the biggest things you guys and gals are asking for is bringing on more Carrot clients who are out there crushing it in the world, doing whatever they're doing in business to share their story, share what's working, should also be vulnerable and share what's not working. And I've got an amazing client of ours, but it's also an amazing investor and entrepreneur with us, RJ, who I'm going to introduce you to you fully here in a second. But we had a chance to meet in person finally several months back in Dallas. I was at a mastermind that RJ is now a part of as well. And he was one of those guys in the Dallas market and several others. I'm like, I definitely want to connect with them because number one, they've been evangelists of Carrot for a long time. And RJ's been a user of Carrot for a long time. But also, man, they're just out there crushing it and has such an amazingly positive attitude. So I'm going to introduce RJ Bates on this call. And I know, man, like I see RJ Bates. Do you go by the third? You go by RJ Bates the third, or you just call you RJ?
Yeah, every now and then I say the third. It kind of depends on who I'm talking to, but I prefer to be referred to as the third.
Cool.
It's something my dad passed down to me, so I feel like I need to kind of carry on the tradition there.
I love it, man. I love it. My dad, his name was Harry Mock. His dad was Harry Mock. None of us were Harry. But yeah, some people like to be called Junior or the third or whatever. So awesome, man. Now I know. Sweet.
Yeah.
So before we dive into the kind of the inner workings of your business and where what you're doing today, I always kind of like to start at the start, you know, because every single one of us had to start somewhere, and we all have these limiting beliefs. We all have a background. We all have a backstory. We all have things that we struggled with, and then we found how to get over them. And the people listening to the Carrot Cast are dealing with the same thing. So I'm like, let's break those down right out of the gates to help people get over the same hurdles that you had to. But dude, give people a quick snapshot of, first of all, who are you? Let's speed up to today. Who are you? What do you do? What's your location? And then we're going to kind of dive into the backstory after that.
Yeah, man. So I'm RJ Bates, the third. I guess I got to throw that in there.
The third, man. You can't not say it now.
Right. And my company's Titanium Investments. We're based out of Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. But we do invest all across the country. I think we have full-blown branches in six different states right now. I guess the two most popular markets that people love for us to tell stories about are Hawaii and Alaska. Alaska's brand new, but everyone freaks out when they hear that we're in those two remote locations. We started off as wholesalers, and now we've kind of transitioned to where we still wholesale, but we do fix and flips, rentals. We're even trying to move into multifamily and commercial. So just been blessed to be able to find our calling within real estate investing and partnering up with great people like yourself and Carrot. And, you know, I'll kind of dive into more of our backstory here in a second. But, you know, it's just been an amazing journey. And I feel blessed to be able to sit down and do podcasts like this to help other real estate investors get their start.
I love it, man. It's so funny. A guy that you know in your market, Brian Rockwell, he text messaged me. He sent me a text message 2 days ago. And like this is why I do what I do. It's so awesome, dude. He sent me a text message, and it was basically a picture that he took of a letter that he got in the mail. Like someone physically sat down and wrote a handwritten letter to him saying, "Hey, I heard you on someone in your guys' market saying, I heard you on the podcast. And I was inspired to go out there and do something for someone. And I heard you guys in the podcast, heard your backstory, heard what you're passionate about, that you put your head down and work hard." Long story short, because he was on the Carrot Cast, someone reached out to him and just threw him tons of positive, good vibes, said, "You know, I love what you're doing." And he actually sent his family gifts, which was really cool.
Wow.
It was just amazing. I'm not saying you're going to get gifts. You might get gifts in the mail. I don't know, man. But it's just so cool because when you go out there and share your story, it's crazy. Oftentimes we have insecurities around, "Oh, well, shoot, are people going to copy this? Or am I going to create more competition? Or is my story that cool?" And there's always going to be people who latch onto your story that you can inspire and help them up to that next ladder. So I appreciate you coming on here, man. So before we dive into the backstory, add a little bit more context for what your company looks like now. So do you have a team? What's that team look like? And then kind of what's the volume of your business right now? Because that sets the stage, and we're going to go back on how you got there.
Yeah, so right now we have what we refer to as the corporate headquarters here in DFW. Mm-hmm. That's where myself and my partner Cassie are located. We have an office manager, Nikki. We have an executive assistant, Lindsay, project manager, Mark. And then we have some property analysts, which are people that just scour the MLS and for sale by owners, Craigslist, things like that for properties. The main person we have in that role was actually our first ever hire, Megan Lopez. She's actually remote out of Austin, Texas. And then in the other markets, we didn't just randomly pick those markets. We went into those markets because we had strategic partners. So in Hawaii is actually my childhood best friend, Elijah De La Garza. I've been best friends with him since fifth grade. Similar story in Alaska, a kid that I went to school with. I actually think he left my school in eighth grade, but somehow we all stayed friends. And he actually moved to Alaska in eighth grade. That's how we got Alaska. And then just in the other markets, just through the different business ventures that we've done, we have strategic partners in St. Louis, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Phoenix, Arizona. So that's kind of what our teams look like. In those remote locations, we do have some employees that work for us, but we're really blessed because those strategic partners already had other businesses that were set up. So we kind of tag team on their employees that they have set up more slowly, organically building those branches like we did here in DFW. So that's kind of what the team looks like. As far as volume goes, you know, we're up to a little bit over 100 rental properties that we own right now. Volume wise on wholesale, I think I set a goal this year for two wholesale properties a week, which would be 104 wholesale deals. Not really sure if we're on track for that because that's not a number that I track on a normal basis. We're more of a revenue-based KPI company. I want to see where we're at revenue-wise and staying on pace for that. Last year we did like $1.7 million in revenue. This year we want to be a little bit over $2
million. Sweet.
And depending upon how the flips, you know, we're 6 months in and we have a lot of flips that are currently on the books, and if we're able to move those appropriately, I think we'll far exceed that number this year.
I love it, man. And before we hit record, that was one thing that, that you had mentioned, that you're like, man, and you know, sometimes I don't know the exact number of deals I do unless I really, on the top of your head, unless you dig into the numbers, you really mainly look at the top line, or the top line and bottom line. And that's really smart, right? Because I think it's so easy for us as entrepreneurs to get locked into this number, that the number itself isn't what we're going for. And I know investors, and you do too, there's some in Investor Fuel who really high volume. Like when one of the guys in Investor Fuel was telling me about the volume they were doing, it was some absurd number, like 50 deals a month. And but they were working through hedge funds, but their margins were really low. And 50 deals a month sounds crazy, but someone can be literally doing a deal a month and making more money than someone doing 50 deals a month, depending on the margins you're pulling. So I love it.
Yeah, that's something that really kind of came to me early on. I used to get the question asked all the time, how many deals have you done? And it just didn't make sense to me, because I was like, why are you asking me how many deals I've done? Aren't we in business to make money, not complete deals? Because, man, I can go bust out a thousand deals and not make any money. I mean, that's not an accomplishment. It's about monetizing each lead and maximizing your return, be it if you're a wholesaler or going to take it down as a rehabber or even as a landlord. It really just depends on. And we've been able to do that because we have not shied away from any different strategy. So, you know, we've dabbled in owner financing. We've done the vacation rentals on Airbnb. I just saw your post about the Airbnb that you have.
Yeah.
And I was so pumped. I wanted to, you know, kind of offline talk to you about that and be like, man, that was a really cool situation that you got going there. Cool. And we've done that as well. And so that's all going back to when we get a lead or we take down a property, we look at it and say, how are we going to be able to best monetize this lead? Mm-hmm. And that's how we determine. It's not about how many deals we've done. It's about how much money we make.
And that's a big takeaway. That's why I want to emphasize. I want people listening to this, especially the newer investors, but also the people who are out there grinding for deal numbers, like deal volume, as far as the number of deals. Make sure you're looking at the bottom line, because especially as a market shifts, a market changes, you need to make sure you're focusing on your margins. And way few people focus on their margins and what actually makes it in their pocket, in their bank account at the end of the day. They focus on these vanity numbers that don't really lead to that passive income or to that financial freedom that you're looking for.
It's funny you say that, because every time I have a bad deal, like a deal that just doesn't play out, like a rehab, and we either break even or barely make any profit, I'm always like, well, I guess that's one deal that we can say we did, because that's like my only takeaway. Even though we didn't make any money, it's like, well, now we can brag about we did a flip in that area or whatever. It's all about making money. It's not about completing the deals.
Yeah. Dude, so where'd you start? Like, you haven't been a real estate investor since you were born. So where'd you start? What was your journey?
Yeah. So it's funny you brought up Brian's story, because if people got inspired by Brian's story, I hope this story really inspires people, because the more I tell the story, the more I kind of realize I really came from a very like humble beginning, and I didn't really realize it at the time. I'll start all the way back when I was 18 and I finished football season my senior year. Friday night game ended, woke up Saturday morning to my mom kicking me, saying, hey, you're going to go get a job. Don't come home until you have a job. Football season's over. So I went out and I applied at the local Pizza Hut. I begged the general manager to give me a job as a delivery driver, and that was my first job. And I made way too much money as an 18-year-old. I was making like $100 a day in tips, cash tips, putting them in my pocket, and I thought I was ruling the world as an 18-year-old. And just at the time, I wasn't really thinking about my future that much, and I just kind of got stuck in it. I went from a delivery driver to a shift manager to an assistant manager, and then I got my own restaurant at 23. And I was managing my own restaurant, and I thought I was doing well for myself. And looking back, I learned a ton about business and P&Ls and how to, you know, analyze numbers, and I still use all of that knowledge today. But it came down to the point where one day a corporate executive came in. He didn't know my name. I didn't know his. He walked around my restaurant in 5 minutes and then set me down in the lobby and said, hey, man, you're a glorified shift manager. We should have never promoted you. You don't know what you're doing.
Really?
And walked out of my restaurant. And I went home that night thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get fired or not. And really, it was based around I took over a restaurant that was in a terrible situation, and I was currently essentially rehabbing that location. And he didn't really know that. And at that point in time, I realized this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, I have more inside of me than this. And that's when my whole family thought I was going crazy, because I quit Pizza Hut, cashed out my 401k, went and bought a property with my 401k money, had no job, but I just bought a house, never bought a house before in my life. And I went and got a minimum wage job at a golf course. I was a cart boy. I think I was 26, 27 years old. I was spraying the carts, working with like a bunch of 16-year-olds. And they're like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just need to clear my head. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And that's when one day Cassie, my partner now, came to me and she said, hey, let's start our own business. Let's do something about this. And fast forward a couple of months, Cassie and I started our first business, Fairway Solutions. This was in 2012. And 2012 was the year that my life changed. My niece was diagnosed with leukemia. In June or July. In August, I started my own business. In September, my dad fell in his house and passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
And in October, my son, Trinity, was born. So I went from working a minimum wage job to owning a business. I have a niece who has cancer. I have a son, and my dad passed away a month before my son was born. And I look back at that, and that was the moment where everything changed. My mentality changed. I understood that, you know, I had to step up and make something happen. And we went from Fairway Solutions, which was a general consulting firm for general contractors. So when they file insurance claims on hailstorms or wind damage, we were basically supplementing those claims to get the contractor more money from the insurance company and taking a spread off that. Well, I realized our employees that we had didn't really know what they were doing because they'd never been contractors before. And I'm like, but I'm an entrepreneur. We can go sell roofs. So we started go selling roofs. And I remember there was this time where Cassie and I were door knocking over by SMU, which is a very high end part of Dallas. And we pulled up to this house and I could tell there might be roof damage. And I literally pulled Cassie out of her Kia Soul and made her go knock on the door. And the gentleman who answered the door said, sure, you can inspect my roof for hail damage. We didn't even have a ladder. So we said, okay, well, we'll be right back in 30 minutes. We drove down to the Home Depot, got one of the big trifold ladders that could fit in a Kia Soul. We jammed it in there and we drove back. We inspected the roof. We got the job. And after we completed the job, I mean, we made a ton of money on that deal. And we were living the high. You know, we were like, man, this is amazing. We're going to do this. And he goes, do you remodel houses? And my personality just took over and I said, of course we do. And he said, cool, I'm going to flip a house over here and the keys are in the mailbox. Go, it's yours. Go tell me how much to remodel a house. Never remodeled a house in my life. But we went over there. We found a way to bid it up and we subbed everything out and he flipped a house. He made money. But while he was doing it, I asked him, how'd you find this house? And he said, I got it from a wholesaler. And so I started researching and I'm like, so a wholesaler is a guy that found the house, sold it to this guy, did no work, and made the spread. He's the smartest guy in this entire transaction. Yep. So we started doing research on that. And August of 2014 is pretty much when I decided, okay, I'm going to try wholesaling. And I basically just abandoned Cassie and our other businesses. I left her to run everything, and I'm like, I'm going to figure out real estate investing. And I always like to share the story where we got a property under contract, and after we deposited earnest money and option money, we went down to $11 in our bank account. Whoa. And that's for everybody. That's like myself, my family, my kids, her, $11. And I said, we just got to trust this, because if this closes, we're going to make $11,000, and it'll never be the same after that. And it closed, and we made the money, and on January New Year's Day of 2015, we were working. That's how broke we were. We thought we were going to do something on New Year's Day. And I told her, I said, hey, we're not selling another job as a contractor. We're going full-time real estate investing. And just through determination, hard work, effort, learning as much as we possibly can. That's we made $750,000 that year in wholesale fees, and we haven't looked back since. You know, since then we've had continual year over year growth. I actually remember, I think it was late 2014 is when I stumbled on, it was a holiday. It might've been like Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I found an investor carrot. And I remember calling Cassie and I was like, I found the coolest thing. They have these pre-made websites and we don't have to work on the website, because that was totally something I worked on. Yeah. And I'm like, it's already pre-built for us. And it does the SEO and all this for us. And so I laugh with you all the time, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was one of like your first like carrots.
And, you had to have clients. Been, man. I mean, if it was in 2014, yeah, we started the company. Start of 2014, end of 2013, things were percolating. We had something online, but it wasn't called Carrot at the time. It was something else. Yeah, right. So you were probably one of the first couple hundred people. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, because it took a lot longer for the sites to pop up. Now I can bust a site out in like 2 minutes. But yeah. Back then it took y'all like 4 or 5 days to make them.
We were physically building them, dude. Like that's a part of the story a lot of people don't know. We've told it a little bit, but my younger brother, Kyle, he's 6 years younger than me. Me and him were the guys when an order would come in, because we're trying to like prove the concept. Before you invest a lot of money into building something, you need to just buckle down, do things that don't scale, prove the concept. And I want to unpack that a bit, because you did the same thing in both businesses. I want to unpack that a little bit. So you don't perfect it, but yeah, literally an order would come in and we were proud of ourselves, man, that we had it down to like a 21-step manual process. And we would be competing against each other. And I think one of us got a 9-minute, like 9 minutes is how the fastest one we ever got set up, but that's still funny. It would take several days to get them, because we had a queue and all things. Right. That's funny, man.
Yeah. That's so funny. After that, man, we became Titanium Investments and we started scaling up here in DFW. Mm-hmm. And, before long we made some connections where we started building a nationwide buyers list. So we started expanding to other markets. Here we are today. I mean, we have this team, and this year we're aiming to do a little bit over 2 million. And, it's funny though, because as time has changed us as entrepreneurs and we see a different vision than what we had back then, it was, let's see how much money we can make. But now it's about how much passive income can we create?
Yep.
And so my new goal, revenue is important and the amount of deals that we do are important. But really, our newest goal is we want to achieve $100,000 net passive income per month.
Cool.
Which is massive. But that came from a mentor that kind of took me aside and he told me, I see this in you. This is my goal. And I think you should have the same goal. So that's where we're moving in that direction. That's why we're building the portfolio that we have.
So question. So I want to unpack that a little bit before we kind of go back again. I want to touch on some other things that you mentioned. Make sure we highlight some things that both new and experienced investors need to really listen to. But so with that goal, there's a lot of different terms that people have used. There's my freedom number or, whatever it is when you want to use. Other than your coach saying, hey, this would be a good goal for you, why that number? Like, why isn't it $50,000 a month net? Why isn't it $400,000? Like, what's the $100,000 net number significant for you guys for?
I think you basically kind of analyze how our business is moving and the amount of income that we're able to generate right now with the market being the way it is.
Yep.
If I'm able to get to that number passively, then I know the business is going to be secure. Our lifestyles are going to be secure.
Yep.
And that's even if everything else goes away, if wholesaling goes away, if rehabs go away, all of those strategies, as long as we have that passive income, whether it be through rental properties, multifamily, commercial, whatever it is, and we diversify ourselves through the different markets that we're in,
yep.
Which is something that's a little bit different than what most people kind of do when they're building their portfolio. Right now we have St. Louis, Tulsa, DFW, and Hawaii. Those are the main markets that we have rental properties in. All four of those markets have completely different personalities, I guess is the best way to put it. And so we're just trying to diversify ourselves to protect ourselves for whenever the change in the market, the downturn is going to come. Because at some point in time, it's not going to stay the way it is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of markets, but we're just doing that to prepare ourselves. And yeah, I mean, if we get up to $50,000 net a month, I mean, yeah, we're doing pretty good. But with scaling a business comes overhead, yep. And we've kind of gotten to that point. So we want to get to the point where we can net that much in case everything else disappears.
Yep. And that's a big deal, man, because I know for me when I, you know, through my entrepreneurial journey, I've kind of came up with those numbers, you know, similar to that too. And it's funny when something's working really well for you, a lot of people get in the mindset, I've been caught with this too, that, hey, this is it. Like, I'm never going to make less than this. And I remember specifically, I actually recorded a podcast on it yesterday. It's going to go live here in a few weeks, but, I was in my truck just thinking about cycles and how people cycle, not just like real estate cycles, but we cycle as entrepreneurs. I remember back in 2011-12, I cycled as an entrepreneur, even when the real estate market was really good time to really dive in and start to be an investor or start to be in the education space or anything around real estate investing. 2011-12 is a great time to get in, right?
Right.
And I was cycling as an entrepreneur because I'd lost my focus and passion. So like, even if you're raking it in, I've seen so many people that have all the opportunity in the world, the market's there for them. They cycle because, you know, just their personality, whatever it is, cycle. When the real estate market does it for you, which like you said, something will happen, whether it's an event or whether it's just a softening that ends up changing the market. Like if you're reliant on the income, the lifestyle you've built, on the current way you've done it, and also if you're reliant on, oh, well, things are going to be like this, I've figured out how to make $100,000 a month, you know, if the market changes and you haven't built the other things on the side that are complementary to that market changing, then you're going to be up a creek without a paddle, basically.
Exactly. And going back to like how we came up with that, that's just kind of my personality though, as well.
Yep.
Like I don't do well if I set small achievable goals.
Yep.
Like that to me does not excite me. Mm. I need to have the large goal, because in my mind, I can see what I need to do to achieve the large goal. So I just set very large goals, and in between kind of I fill the gaps along the way, but I don't feel like I'm achieving anything. Mm. So for me to say, let's get to $10,000 net passive income a month, that would be very hard for me to stay focused on, because I think it's very achievable for where we are. So I needed to set that high goal to stay focused on it, because otherwise I almost become bored with it. And as entrepreneurs, we have to kind of realize who we are as individuals, and as, you know, nowadays the common phrase is as the visionaries, you know, you need to have the integrator, and as the visionary, you need to understand kind of how to motivate yourself and stay focused on things. And so that's kind of one of the things I've noticed about myself.
You know, one thing I want to toss to you too, just in my own journey with Carrot and my other companies. So we're obviously doing really well. But you've got to make sure that we're taking that cash and investing it in diversified spots, like you're mentioning. And one thing that I had to make a mindset shift on was my original financial goal with Carrot. Like, of course you have to make some sort of financial goal, but my original goal with Carrot wasn't to make money. It was just like, can I be the best at this kind of thing? And by being the best at something, you end up making money, which is pretty cool. But you know, I ended up blown by the original financial goals that I had set for myself within probably like 2 years of the business. And a lot of those were because I was thinking from the perspective of what do I need to do, or what do I need to build to build an income of X. And now when you set goals really, really big, like you've done 100,000 net per month, or with us, you know, our next, let's be transparent, our next milestone we're looking for is 10 million a year is the next milestone that we're pushing for, is you realize you can't do that yourself. So the cool thing about it is now you're going, okay, what do I need to do to who do I need to find? And once you find the right people who can help you get there, that passive income gets there way faster. And also it gets there way easier for you, because you're not having to be the one pulling it the whole way. So that's another really good benefit of setting big goals, is it forces you to think outside of what you need to do and get other people in to help in a big way.
It's funny you say that though, because like for me, Titanium Investments of Hawaii, I only own 50% of that. Mm-hmm. Elijah De La Garza owns the other 50%. But if that entity goes out and creates 10,000 net passive income a month, I'm not going to consider that 5,000 to my goal.
Yep.
That's 10,000 to our goal. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with having a partner on it.
Yeah.
It's collectively as a unit, as a whole, Titanium Investments mm-hmm. needs to achieve that goal.
I love it.
And yes, I love bringing people along with that journey and helping them create that passive income as well. Mm-hmm. This is not an RJ Bates wants to make that. That's a Titanium Investments wants to make that.
Dude, that mindset shift too. There's so many, not just real estate investors, but entrepreneurs in general. And I was one of those guys where you set a number. Let's say your first number is 10K a month or 100,000 bucks for that year, which is a pretty common number that people set. Oftentimes right. we're looking at it going 10K a month for me. Like that's my goal. And so I bring as few people as possible in. I am penny pinching expenses. I look at people as an expense rather than an asset. And at that point, you know, it's really hard to get beyond a certain level because you're the bottleneck in every single spot. And when things really started to grow fast, I went, okay, I have to be okay with if there's an amount of income that comes in with me not pocketing 90% of it. I have to be okay with sharing possibly even half of it or more. But then I get a smaller piece of a much, much, much bigger pie. And the cool thing is, like, I'm on vacation this week. If people are watching this on the YouTube version of this, I'm in my mom's house up in my younger brother's old bedroom. And it's funny, like, it's decorated like Hawaii stuff. My parents love Hawaii. There's some turtles and stuff like that.
I saw the little lay over there on the side, and I was like, is he in Hawaii right now?
Yeah, man. He's
hanging out the lake. Yeah, whatever.
It's in my parents' house. And once the kids moved out, man, they, like, obviously took it over, which they should have. But right. So here I'm not working for the next 3 or 4 days because I've got 20 people who work for me who are just crushing it. And they have a very clear picture of where our vision's going, how they fit into it. And there's always struggles when you have people. So I don't want people to be scared of, like, oh my gosh, I don't want employees. I was one of those people that never wanted employees because I had the wrong mindset around them. When you have the right mindset around them, that you guys are together marching towards a mission and vision, you share the successes, you also share the failures. You as the owner are going to take the brunt of the failure because ultimately any failure in the company is you. But man, it's just so much sweeter, so much sweeter.
Man, I'm glad you bring that up because that's like one of the number one questions that I get asked by, I wouldn't even say like newer investors. I mean, these are guys that have been doing this longer than I have mm-hmm. and they'll message me and they're like, dude, you're crushing it. I saw you open up a new market. Hey, I'm looking to make my first hire. When should I do that?
Yesterday.
And I'm like, dude, you were like 6 months past the point. Like, what are you waiting on? Yeah. And then on my podcast, I just interviewed Brad Chandler, mm-hmm. who is someone that I highly respect. I look up to. I'm sure you feel the same way. I just saw he was at Carrot Camp with you guys.
Yep.
And he was talking about hiring VAs. And he was like, make a 48-hour catalog of all of the items that you do every 5 minutes. Mm. And for every item that is a $10 an hour item, that should be outsourced to an employee or a VA.
Yeah.
And even for someone like myself who has a team of people, I'm going, we need more people. Mm-hmm. Like, we need those VAs. Why are we trying to do too much ourselves? Because I still do stuff that's not even a $10 an hour job. I mean, it's like a $3 an hour job because the VA can do it.
Yeah.
So for people that are struggling to make that choice, if you're in this and you're making consistent revenue, start building a team. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's enabled us to get to where we are today.
Yeah. And we have a couple episodes of the Carrot Cast where we actually talk about hiring assistants, outsourcing, things like that. So everyone go back to those episodes. I think we should do a refresh one as well on really what are your first hires, what are your second hires, that kind of thing. That'd be really cool. So I want to circle back a little bit way to kind of when you're making those decisions in your business. And then after that, I want to jump forward to kind of what's working in your business, what's working marketing-wise, things like that. But going back to when you were struggling, but then also you started the new business, you did the roofing job, then you mm-hmm. saw wholesaling. What were some of those mental limiting beliefs that you had during that time? You had to have some. I mean, you were an action taker. You know, you were definitely an action taker. But were there any limiting beliefs that were holding you back? Or were there some core decisions you just had to make that you see many people not making that stunt their growth?
Yeah, I think part of what helped us was is that we had a business. So, you know, I kind of flew through the story a little bit. So we did the one roofing job turned into a remodeling job. But for a couple of years there, we were a full-flown general contracting business. We did multiple projects. I mean, a lot of projects. But we were still struggling. And we were struggling to find business. We were struggling to how to scale the business. And so when we figured out about wholesaling, real estate investing, it really clicked with me. Mm-hmm. Like it became my passion, and I knew that's what I was supposed to do with my life.
Yeah.
So the limiting beliefs were, if I get a property under contract, which is already hard enough to do when you're first getting started, am I going to be able to find an end buyer? Mm. And I don't necessarily know how to do it. I hear everybody tell me how to do it, and we've done it a couple of times, but am I going to be able to do this frequently enough to replace what I'm doing over here,
yep,
a flooring job or a bathroom remodel or a kitchen remodel? And it just came down to having that conversation with myself on, it's hard enough for me to go find a kitchen remodel, bid it out, sell it, do the work, and make profit. Is it just as hard for me to go find a property, get it under contract, and find an end buyer? Well, actually, no, that sounds easier. Hmm. I might be able to do that easier. And this is what I know I'm supposed to do in my life. So yeah. I see people all the time that struggle with when they're supposed to go full time with real estate investing. For me, it was not a question. I've never struggled with that in my life, mm-hmm, on being decisive on what I'm supposed to do. It took me 4 months, but in those 4 months, I basically stopped what I was doing. I mean, the moment that I found out about wholesaling, it was like, hey, Cassie, I hope you can continue Rucker Contracting, because I'm going to go start wholesaling. That's just kind of how my personality is. I mean, that's what's enabled us to also expand to other markets, being very quick and decisive and analyzing a situation. And I think that kind of goes back to, you know, why I think we've been successful, because I'm always very quick to make those decisions, and I don't have analysis paralysis. I mean, that's the number one thing that I see with people all the time is, why they don't get a property under contract? Because they overthought it. Why they don't go full time? Because they're overthinking it. So I just don't let myself get in my own way.
Cool. I love it, man. So you talked about going into a new market. Are there certain things you look for when you're going into a new market? Because you're in several markets right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we see among the most successful investors do, especially when a market gets really competitive, is you dive really deep into your home market and get your systems down. But then when it gets crazy competitive, you expand out. And what are the things you look for when you expand out?
So first and foremost, a strategic partner. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to be boots on the ground to understand what we're looking at. That's more of a company policy. I see guys like Brad Chandler that are going out there and doing everything remotely, and that's great for them. It didn't work for us.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have a rule that we need to have somebody that is in the business, and we almost kind of secure them within the business by creating a new entity and giving them equity in the business. Mm. So they own it. This is not a, hey, I'm working a job. No, this is your business. It's
cool.
Tucker Merrihew actually asked me, he was like, are you becoming the new Homevestors? And I was like, I've never really thought about it that way, but maybe I am. And I just didn't know it. but that's kind of what we do as far as, you know, the first main thing that we need. But as far as like the market itself, I love the markets that don't have a ton of competition, mm-hmm, or that either have the most competition. Mm-hmm. So DFW and Phoenix are like the two markets to me that have quite possibly the most wholesalers, rehabbers, just tons of competition. And I love that because it gives us plenty of opportunities to network,
yep,
analyze the market, work with other investors. Maybe we can joint venture. Like right now in Phoenix, we're buying 5 properties from Andrew LeBaron, who mm-hmm is just crushing it out there.
Yep.
I would have never gotten those properties had I not just networked with him, and he brought them to us, and they're great deals.
Hmm.
But as far as like Hawaii and Alaska, there's no competition. So I don't like the markets that kind of fit in between there, unless they're for cash flow. So gotcha. That's kind of where St. Louis and Tulsa are. We can go in there, we can do any kind of marketing, acquire properties, and turn those into passive income. And we don't really have to rely on wholesaling or rehabbing at all. It's just about our own deals and building up a portfolio.
Gotcha. Cool. So that's smart right there, y'all. I was talking with another one of our customers. I'm going to see if I can't get him on a Carrot Cast if he'd be game. It's like 2 years ago. I remember he was kind of working out his systems. He's a national home buyer. Mm-hmm. And, he does 20 to 25 deals a month right now, mostly through Google pay-per-click. But he's like, man, when all over the country. Like he basically says, I'll buy a house anywhere. I'm like, how do you do that? You know, what are you doing right. For analyzing the deals? How do you know if it's a good, like, what is it? And he's like, man, we hustled and it took us like a year and a half to do it, but we built out a really large network where we have people in each one of those markets. I'm like, cool. Well, we haven't dug into that more deeply, but he's crushing it. 20, 25 deals a month. He makes, you know, 15 to 20K per deal. So you can add those numbers up and right. he's doing really well. And, but one of the keys for him was having someone there in that mm-hmm. market. Same thing as you.
Yeah. And we're like right now, we're currently looking at like Birmingham, Alabama as mm-hmm. being another new market for us.
Yep.
And that kind of goes into it. Lack of competition. I've heard there's a ton of wholesalers there, but when you look at like the Facebook groups and how many members there are compared to other markets, there's not a whole lot. And there's cash flow there.
Yep.
So that's why we're looking at it, because we have somebody there that wants to come on board, and it kind of fits the other two criteria where it could either be really good for wholesaling or it could be really good for a passive income. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to go into the marketing side a little bit now. So people understand where you are, a little bit of your backstory, some of those key decisions you had to make. And they also understand kind of where you are, you know, where you are today. But what are you guys doing to get deals right now? So what's working great in this market? What wasn't, what's working, what wasn't, can't talk. What's not working now that was working like a year ago? Kind of where are you guys at?
Yeah. So direct mail is well and alive. For anybody that says direct mail is dead, it's not. It's still the number one source of marketing. It gets the phones ringing better than any other source.
Yep.
But we definitely utilize other sources. We're big on digital marketing. I beg to say we might have gotten more properties through Facebook ads than anybody else I know. We're big on Facebook ads and turning those into subject twos and keeping them for passive income. Google pay-per-click is another one that's big for us. And it's also dependent upon what market we're talking about. You know, different things work well here in DFW and they don't work so well in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Cold calling is better in Phoenix than it is here in DFW. And direct mail is better in DFW than it is in Phoenix.
Hmm.
I don't know the reason why. I just know that's how it works for mm-hmm. us. So that's kind of where we focus. In Hawaii, everything works really well. So we pretty much do all of it in moderation. But really, you know, when it comes to marketing, you know, I'm sure everybody says this, but – there's no secret sauce to it. It's just about consistency mm-hmm. and making sure that you're just consistently touching those lists or those leads that you have. And I mean, we still drive for dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not big on bandit signs, but I still drive for dollars. I mean, yesterday I was coming back from the store and I pumped two or three in the Driving for Dollars app. So, yeah. I mean, it's just about constantly being focused and just being aware of the situations around you.
So if you're game, I want to kind of unpack a little bit. Let's go one level deeper. And if there's anything at all, man, you don't want to share if they're kind of proprietary numbers, just tell me. And there's no harm, no foul there. So what's your – I know it's going to vary by market, but approximately for your different sources, kind of what's your cost per lead or cost per deal? Kind of like what's it costing you to do your marketing and how effective is it?
Yeah. So each market's going to be drastically different.
Yep.
I kind of shared with you before we jumped on here, like in Hawaii, we did a $500 Google pay-per-click campaign mm-hmm. and we got 10 leads,
yep.
Which is amazing. We would not get those same results here in DFW.
No.
So, excuse me, here in DFW, we're going to be probably between $3,000 to $4,000, you know, cost per lead. Just depending on or cost per acquisition.
It's the same, man. What are you guys doing for those leads?
Yeah, no, cost per acquisition. But in Phoenix, it's probably going to be a little bit higher, mm-hmm. Except if you're doing any form of marketing except for cold calling. Cold calling is going to be more affordable, which is why we like it there.
Yep.
And I'm starting to see more people in Phoenix are doing cold calling. You're starting to see other people that are getting a big name for themselves in Phoenix based off their cold calling.
Yep.
Alaska's too new. We don't know anything about the advertising there. But St. Louis and Tulsa, very affordable. You know, you can do You can do direct mail in those markets and get a 2.5 to 3% return rate, like call return rate. Mm-hmm. And that's much higher than like the 1% to sometimes even less than 1% that we're getting here in DFW. So yeah. It's just dependent upon the market. And but like I said, everything that we do is based around how we can monetize that lead the most. So as you can kind of tell, Phoenix and DFW, they need to have higher profit margins because of the cost of marketing.
Yep.
So we very rarely try to take something down in DFW or Phoenix that we're not going to be able to really monetize that to the, its max potential.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to toss people's way, whether they're a newer investor or experienced one, is RJ mentioned their cost per deal range there in DFW, so 3 to 5K, and just from other sources, I know that's a very common range in that market. And just from what we know here at Carrot, getting to see the data behind the scenes, we know those common ranges in almost every market about what it's going to cost you to take down a deal in an online marketing type of source. And so one of the mindset shifts that people have to make is a lot of people come to us saying, well, what should my budget be for marketing in that market or for pay-per-click or whatever? And I think that's it's a common question. It's the most logical question to ask, but I think it's a really bad question because what they're looking for is for me to tell them, hey, $1,000 a month is what you should do or whatever. And what we like to do is work back from how much is it going to cost you to close a deal? What's your average profit per deal that in that market that you would close on? And let's just go with a $20,000 number. I'm just going to use a round one. And I have a video called the max cost per lead video that you need to watch if you're doing any paid marketing, y'all. Like, you have to watch this, otherwise you're going to be losing in your marketing. You might as well flush some money down the toilet. But basically, you figure out your average profit per deal. You figure out what it's going to cost you to close on one of those deals in your market. If you've got the data. If you don't have the data, then you go, okay, what would I be willing to pay to get one of those deals? And usually I kind of like to go with about a 25% number, right? So if your average profit per deal is 20K or whatever that is, 25% of that's about 5K, right? So we'll go with that round number. How many leads does it take you to get to close one of those? We like to go with an average of 1 in 15. Some people close way better. Some people close way worse. Some people are more picky with their leads in areas of the market. But then you boil that down. Let's go with the 1 in 10 just for simple math because I can't do the math in my head. But let's say if you're a $5,000 cost per deal and you're closing 1 in 10 into one of those deals, it's going to bring you in 20K. That's $500 per lead max. Now, some people look at that and go, I'm never going to pay $500 per lead. I'm going, well, the math says you can. And that's where a lot of people lose is they don't trust the math. They trust their emotions. And mm-hmm. So if you guys are looking to market in your market and pull in leads with any paid model, you have to trust the math on it, y'all. And a lot of people will stop their marketing at $2,500 in. And then they go, oh man, I'm already $2,500 deep. I haven't closed a deal yet. I've got a few leads, but none of them have been great. I'm going to cut my losses. They cut your losses while RJ's still spending and wins, because he knows his math.
Absolutely. And that's what I talk about when I say be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, trust me, there's been plenty of times where we've rolled out direct mail and we've got nothing but a bunch of duds that came back to us that didn't turn into deals. Mm-hmm. But we've also sent out direct mail and just been a wave of contract, 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 contract. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then we go back and we look and it's like, it was the same list.
Yep.
But all of the deals came on the fourth or fifth time that we hit them. Because it's being about being consistent. So there's definitely times where you have to analyze your marketing and make adjustments and pivot from it. But overall, the consensus between going to masterminds, having guests on my podcast, I ask them about marketing, and the number one answer is just be consistent.
Cool. So two questions I want to ask you around your online marketing is, we'll get this every now and then that someone says, hey, I'm just focusing on offline. I'm focused on direct mail. Don't need a website now. And we see a lot of data around how a website can lift performance of your offline stuff. We were just chatting with the number one home buyer in Oklahoma, a client of ours, Carter Steffen, 1-800-2-SELL-HOMES. And they've been around for a long, long time. And they moved over to Carrot, concierge website, dialed it in way better than their other one. Long story short, he sends me this note. They said that their leads double. Like, they're not doing any online marketing. They're ranking for a couple phrases, but it's all radio, TV, direct mail. And they're like, man, our leads doubled. Our average close percentage increased dramatically with a better updated website. And their profits are up all because of how the website interacts with your offline. What are you seeing for you guys? Like, how is the online strategy complementing your offline, or is it?
No, I think it does. I kind of talked to you a little bit about this. Like, we utilize the carrot sites mainly for brand building mm-hmm. when we go to the new markets. And then once we're established, everything that we do, we organically try to grow. So once we're more established, that's when we roll out the Motivated Seller, the cash buyer websites, and the other ones that you offer. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten plenty of leads that have come in where we kind of struggled because they're calling us off of a postcard, but they didn't call the call rail number on the postcard. They're calling the call rail number on the website. Mm-hmm. And we've asked them, we've gotten to the point now where we've kind of tracked that. So we start asking them and yeah, I mean, you get a postcard and it says, hey, Titanium Investments wants to buy your house. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's just commonplace to go look up their website and see, you know, who are you about to do or who are you going to contemplate doing business with? Hmm. And I think the new feature that y'all just rolled out with the, I can't remember what y'all call it, but it's like the accountability or what the was
credibility
it?
Credibility.
Yeah. That? Credibility. Yeah. There you go. I was like accountability. No credibility.
Yeah, you're good.
So, you know, where you've got the BBB or you can put the, testimonials from other motivated sellers or even cash buyers right up underneath the form. I think that's amazing, you know, because those it's very important to people. And whereas I have my own feelings about being accredited with the BBB, I mean, I pay it and it matters to a certain clientele that we're going after, especially on motivated sellers. So utilizing all of that within your website is very important. I'm very big about the free content that you guys give us. I just got an email today from someone that wanted to use an article that was basically free content that y'all gave me. They wanted to use it in their newsletter. I almost feel bad. I'm like, I didn't write that.
Well, sure. Dude, as long as it's linking back to you, man, that's the thing, right? Like that's why we do that. And for people listening, that's our content marketing system that's included in the Content Pro plan. And then there's a more advanced version in the Advanced Marketer plan, which RJ is a part of, where you get more articles. They're a little bit longer. They have images in them, things like that. So, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And I mean, all of that just kind of builds more credibility, like you said, with the motivated sellers or even the cash buyers. I mean, I am blown away. It feels like, I don't know the exact number, but I know at least once a day I'm getting someone that signs up for our cash buyers list on my site, on one of my sites. And I'm like, I don't even know where this person came from. It's just SEO. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not a computer guy. I'm not a website guy. So I don't know how all y'all system works, but yeah, it's amazing how it works. And we're constantly just building our buyers list through that. And just the ability that we can rebrand in each of the different markets, you know, we try to make our logos that are kind of market central and they kind of feed to the locals. And mm-hmm. so having all those different websites for all the different markets is, it's just a huge part of our business. I mean, I kind of joked with you and Adrian, one day when I was opening the website for St. Louis, I said, actually, I'm about to create a new site and y'all were blown away because I got a new site up and running in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was like new domain, set it all up and got the logos and rebranded it and everything. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, at this point in time, I've kind of got it down on how I can create a new carrot website.
I love it, man. I love it. So the Facebook side of things. So one thing that reminded me to like, man, I actually need to get off my duff and hit up RJ and get this scheduled was a presentation you did down there in Dallas at a local meetup. And it kind of walked through a deal that you'd closed from Facebook. So let's spend the next few minutes. We're nearing the end of the hour. And I want to respect your time and everyone else's time. But I like to kind of finish this with unpacking a little bit of what's working for Facebook. And then it's any recommendations you give. But give me the high level of that deal. Give everyone the high level of that deal since you already shared it. What happened step by step in that deal?
Yeah, so Facebook's kind of making some changes to their ad platform right now. So some of the demographics that we used aren't going to be available anymore. But yep. Basically, I took a house that we previously wholesaled, went on to Canva.com, just added some little script down at the bottom. It says, we buy houses. Call now for cash offer 24 hours, made it kind of goofy looking, but I've noticed the uglier and cheaper those pictures look, the better they perform.
Yep.
And I just did a post on my Titanium Investments business page Off to the side, it says, do you need to sell your house fast? Call here, click on your site, go on to your Carrot account and create a campaign with a unique link so you can keep track of how many clicks you're getting on the campaign. Mm-hmm. Put that as the link on the post, and I boosted it. The demographics that we used were homeowner. They had to be 25 plus to 65 plus years old. The home value needed to be less than $200,000, and they needed to have owned the house for longer than 5 years. Hmm. We boosted that for $100. Immediately got a someone went onto our Carrot website and filled out the form. And anytime we get leads through our website, I literally start screaming because the emails come to me still because I'm a control freak CEO and I'm working on it, but they still come to me. And I start screaming 5 minutes because we have a company policy that when leads come in, you have to call them back within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, they're just going to go find someone else's website to eventually talk to them.
Yep.
And I actually called this one back myself because it was like 8 o'clock in the morning and I was in the car. And we were passing the exit where her house was. And I said, can I come right now? And she said, yes. We went and looked at it. She was going into foreclosure. They were moving out 12 days later. We took the property subject to the existing mortgage. And we did nothing to it. We let them move out at the end of the month. We didn't even turn electricity and water on. Okay. We went and took pictures of this house. Pitch black dark with an iPhone. There was no fence in the backyard. It was just gone. And she had punched a hole in the wall in the laundry room because she couldn't get the duct to fit for her dryer. So she just punched a hole in the garage and just slung it out through there, and all the lint was in the garage. But we did nothing in the house, and we put it on the market. We listed it $7,500 less than market value. We got a full price offer within 3 days of being on the market, and we closed on it. We made $37,000 profit on that deal.
Wow.
From a $100 Facebook ad. And I give Carrot a ton of credit on that because the big thing about Facebook ads is they can fatigue very quickly, and you need to keep track of how well they're working.
Yep.
And with y'all's campaign system and seeing how many clicks you're getting to your site, and then also if you're getting a ton of clicks to your site and you're not getting any leads, then you need to adjust something about either your ad on why people are clicking on it, mm-hmm. or the landing page that they're going to or something, because yep. something's not working right. So if I see a ton of clicks and I'm not converting the leads, then we adjust it, and vice versa. If I'm not getting any clicks, then I adjust it. Mm-hmm. So thank you to you guys for adding that feature, because I don't think that was there a couple of years ago, and it's really impacted our ability to change the digital marketing side of things for us.
Dude, that's awesome, because that's one feature a lot of people don't use where – The reason we built it in, honestly, is because we needed it. Like, that's what a lot of the features are, is we're continually going over to Google UTM Builder and having to go to their page and build a UTM, which is a unique tracking link, basically. And, you know, like, all right, so we're doing a new Facebook ad or new Google ad or new ad set in Google, whatever it is. And we'd always be building UTMs. We're like, I guarantee most of our customers aren't using tracking stuff. And they're running like 5 Facebook campaigns or all these ad mm-hmm. groups and AdWords, and they have no clue probably which ones are actually performing. So they're just putting all this money into all their campaigns going, I don't know which ones are working, which ones are not. I assume I'm getting leads out of it. And so that's when we put that in. So for everyone not using our campaigns feature, if you're on Content Pro or Advanced Marketer, you get unlimited campaigns. I think Content Pro, you get 10 or something like that. But Advanced Marketing, unlimited campaign tracking links. So every single time you launch a new Facebook ad or a new Google ad, or you send out an email newsletter, you can go in there and create a campaign tracking link for every specific type of ad or whatever you want to track. So you can know exactly which Facebook campaigns are actually pulling in the leads and deals. And same thing with Google, and same thing with everyone else. So, dude, I love that you're using it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is we spend a majority of our marketing budget on other sources, mm-hmm. not in digital marketing. But I'm probably the guy that talks about utilizing digital marketing and your real estate investing more than anybody that I know.
Yeah.
And they're like, at one point in time, I sat down with a local investor here in Dallas, and we were talking about numbers. And so she wanted to know how much money we had made the year before. And I told her, and it was relatively close to the same amount that she had made.
Mm-hmm.
Made a little bit more. and she wanted to know what our marketing budget was. And I told her, and she told me hers. But the difference was she told me her monthly, and I told her my annual number.
I got you.
Mine was less annually than her monthly.
What?
And she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, we utilize Facebook ads, pay-per-click, and we're intelligent about it. Like, I don't sit there and say, here you go, Google. Here's $20,000 this month. I hope I get some leads. I mean, I'm the guy where it's like I spend $500 and it's like if it's not working, it's shutting down and we're making changes. Yep. I'm going to get leads because the thing about digital marketing is you can find out if it's working very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've had a successful campaign, usually within about 12 to 24 hours, I'm getting leads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, we hit the sweet spot on this one.
Yep.
If not, we're making changes. And you can't do that with direct mail.
Mm-hmm.
You send the direct mail out. You're just hoping they call you.
Yep.
And that's what I love about digital marketing is you can constantly adjust and evolve your campaigns.
So one more question, then we'll bounce, man. I could have this call with you for like 2 hours because I've got so many other questions and things I would love to unpack. Maybe we'll have a part two, RJ part two later in the year or something like that. But so what you mentioned a little bit ago is with that particular deal, and you guys do a lot of deals through Facebook, but with that particular deal, you use Facebook's actual interest-based targeting and the data that they have. And with the whole Cambridge Analytica kind of thing over the past 4 or 5 months, they have said that they're going to be giving advertisers less accessibility to data. And for people that are newer to this or just don't know the Facebook side of it much, Facebook is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, data buyers out there because they append so much data to their current data set. And so people wonder, well, how do they know if they have X amount of equity in their home? Or they match it up with all these other things that you've given them information for with this data source outside of it, and then they've given that access to advertisers. And what are you seeing now? Like, what are you guys doing now that many of those are getting stripped away?
Well, so far they haven't been completely stripped away. Mm-hmm. They're still notifying us that, hey, this specific demographic that you're using is no longer going to be an option pretty cool. soon. So we're going to have to make adjustments, but we're also going to have to see what's still available.
Yep.
And kind of play around with it. And if it's kind of we go back to we can't target specific homeowners, maybe then we just target they're likely to move.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, if it's they're likely to move from an apartment to another apartment, well, they're not going to click on our ad anyways.
Yep.
Because they can't sell their apartment. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of think that it's going to move where maybe there's still going to be some wasted dollars because it's targeted to the wrong people, but we're just going to have to play with it. You know, when we first started rolling out Facebook ads, we didn't really know what to target to begin with, but now we've got it down and they've been making adjustments for years. I mean, mm-hmm. they recently got rid of the behavioral profile of, if they own their house for 6+ years,
yep.
that went away. And that was quite possibly my favorite one because I knew then at that point in time, they had equity in the property.
Mm.
And so they got rid of that one a while back. So we'll make adjustments through it. But again, and one more thing about Facebook ads, I always say Facebook ads. We also run ads through Instagram as well.
Yep.
And I think it's very important to realize that because we've gotten leads from Instagram and you're an Instagram guy. You
yeah.
spend way more time on Instagram than you do Facebook.
Yep.
And so it's important to realize that it's important for your business to also have an Instagram profile
mm-hmm.
and utilize those just as much as Facebook ads as well.
Dude, that's a great point. We rolled out a course like 2 months ago with Kylie Newbold, a buddy of mine, and he's put over with his clients about $1.5 million in Facebook ads specifically for house sellers in the past about 15 months. And pulled in well over 10,000 leads from that. So we looked at what's working best and we created a course around it, which is basically like not even a course, man. It's basically here's all of Kylie's processes and his ad lookbook, he calls it, and his ad copy. And they update it when that's really cool. So we have dozens of clients that went through that. And Forrest McGee, a guy who also came out to Carrot Camp, he messaged me and Kylie this last week and he went through the program. He implemented it and he sent us a text message of a deal that he's closing from Instagram, like literally from mm-hmm. Instagram for with the stuff that we taught him. But at the same time, it's like from Instagram because someone was on there and they saw the ad over there.
See this house that I'm sitting in right now?
Mm-hmm.
This house was from an Instagram. This is Cassie's house. We took it down subject to, uh-huh. refried it in the company name, and this was from Instagram.
Hmm.
So it was funny because it was the first ever Facebook ad that I connected to Instagram. And it was just because Facebook was like, hey, do you want to put this on Instagram? And I'm like, sure. And I did it. And it was funny because I was like, I was actually upset because it blew up on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It was like every 10 seconds I was getting a notification, like some random person just liked our post. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be spending money on people liking this post. I want you going to my site. And, and then finally we got this property. And so, ever since then we've utilized it. We've gotten leads through there. And, I know other guys that utilize their Instagram profiles for all kinds of things, finding cash buyers as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to make sure you're not picking and choosing where your clientele is going to be, but making sure you're always out there where they might be.
Yep. Cool. Everyone, if you're interested in learning the Facebook side of things, we don't have time now. I know we need to end this episode of the Carrot Cast, but go to OnCarrot, so OnCarrot, OnCarrot.com/Facebook. Go to OnCarrot.com/Facebook. And we actually have a webinar that Kylie and I did that dives through the things that are working for him. And same thing, I'm just going to be transparent. At the back end of that webinar, after we teach you a bunch of things, we go, okay, you want to learn everything that Kylie and his team are doing to drive leads. So go there, OnCarrot.com/Facebook, and there's a webinar, check it out. And then there's an offer if you want to take that next step and get all of the systems on there and implement it. Same thing that Forrest McGee did, same thing that Timothy Appelt out of Connecticut did, that he's getting leads and deals already from Facebook after he tried and it didn't work for a while before. It's working. So go to OnCarrot.com/Facebook. But you got to do it right. The main mistake so many people do is they go, oh, Facebook ads. They launch an ad. They put in $200-$300. They put the wrong picture in there. They put a stock photo in there. Bad copy. It sends them to a website that doesn't convert well, a non-Carrot site, or they even send them to a Carrot site without good credibility and stuff like that. And they're not tracking their campaigns, like RJ mentioned. And then they go, ah, the thing didn't work. I dumped $500 into it, didn't work, kind of thing. So go through OnCarrot.com/Facebook, learn what's working, and then execute. So RJ, man, I could totally have you. Oh, go for it. Yeah.
But last thing, just because you said something that I find so funny when I talk to people about digital marketing. Oh, I spent $500 on that and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Cool. Go send $500 worth of postcards and see how many leads you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't be much.
No. Nope.
So to give it a fair opportunity. Don't just treat it like it's supposed to be the cheap form of marketing.
Yep.
Treat it like it's any other form of marketing and see what happens. Because if you only spend a couple $100 on any form of marketing, it's going to be pretty rough.
Dude, that's so, so good. And we'll end it there. And I want people to think about that and then circle back to the max cost per lead and the cost per deal combo we had earlier in the call. And dude, RJ, I'm pumped that we finally made this work. And like I said, I'd be game. I'd love to have you on part two and kind of break Let's down do some other things. Dive into mindset stuff a little bit, because I know you're a big mindset guy too. Maybe unpack the Facebook thing a little bit more possibly. But dude, I just want to toss out to you that I'm so grateful that you're in the Carrot community, and that I'm bummed it took us so many years to finally connect in person. And I promise it's not going to be that long until we connect again. I think I'm going to see you in August.
There you go. Yeah, right? I'll be there.
Okay, cool. Well, dude, I appreciate the heck out of you till Cassie said, hey. And everyone, go check out RJ's company, Titanium Investments. And if you're in the DFW area, go connect with him. He's a great, great dude. Knows his stuff. Very sharing guy. But everyone, please go to iTunes or to YouTube, wherever you're listening or watching this, and give us a rating and review on the podcast, because we put these out for free. We want to share inspiring stories, but also give you things you can execute and implement. And if this helped you in any way at all, please give a rating and review. It's like the fuel that pumps me up about doing this. I don't make money doing this. I sell no ads. We're never going to sell any ads. We do it to inspire you guys, empower you guys. And also, hopefully some people will find that Carrot's the solution that can help them grow also. So thank you, dude. Have an amazing rest of the day. We'll talk soon.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
That was such a fun conversation with RJ Bates just now. And if you enjoyed that podcast, if you enjoyed that episode, if you were inspired by RJ's story, make sure to let him know. Go follow him on Facebook or Instagram. Go to look up RJ Bates or Titanium Investments on Facebook. And also make sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Okay, that's where I'm sharing a lot of information behind the scenes about these types of things. Conversations with customers. I'm actually hopping on a Facebook Live today with one of the top investors in the country that's not even going to make it onto the podcast. We're just going to wax philosophical on business, on life, on thinking bigger, but also purpose and passion in there here in a bit. So follow me on Facebook and also follow me on Instagram, okay? I'm really posting a lot more behind-the-scenes things on Instagram, my morning routines, how I deal with overwhelm, really how to get focused, things like that. Follow me on Instagram. Go to instagram.com/Trevor.Mauch, M-A-U-C-H. All right. So with this episode, there's a few things we didn't have a chance to unpack. And one of those things is RJ mentioned in there that he does a lot of Facebook marketing. He said he dares to compare. He dares that he probably brings in more leads and deals than any other carrot customer in the country. Now, I can't verify that. We see some carrot customers bringing in a ton of leads through Facebook. One of our clients up in Boston, actually, Tom Caffarella, had him on the podcast within the last year. He does over 100 leads a week, 100 seller leads a week, motivated house sellers, not retail, motivated house sellers a week come through Facebook through his carrot site. But anyway, how does Facebook work? Does Facebook still work? What strategy works, especially in this changing environment? Well, if you go to oncarrot.com/Facebook, oncarrot.com/Facebook, we actually break that down. We have a webinar that myself and the number one Facebook authority for motivated house sellers in the entire industry, Kylie Newbold, we break down the exact data, the exact results that happen out of almost $2 million in leads in ad spend through Facebook for motivated house sellers, over 10,000 motivated house seller leads in the past 18 months. We break down what they learned and what works best, what types of ads work best, what type of targeting works best, what's going to be happening with all the Facebook changes that's happening right now after all of that, the scandals that have happened, what's happening already and what's going to be happening in the future, and how can you make sure that Facebook isn't working insanely well for you. We break it all down on a webinar. Go check it out. oncarrot.com/Facebook. Join the webinar, grab a time, and then sit back, relax, take a bunch of notes, and go and execute and deploy. And just like RJ did, and just like he shared on Facebook, he's profiting almost every single month from Facebook leads into big deals. There was one that he broke down in a Facebook video that came through a carrot site. He put in less than $100, I think it was an ad spend. You can't expect this all the time, but this one deal, this worked out this way. And he brought in $37,000 in profits from a Facebook lead. Okay, do you want to do that? Go to oncarrot.com/Facebook, register for that webinar. Myself and Kylie will walk through Kylie's three-step process, show you the ads that work the best, show you the targeting that works the best in this day and age, in this environment on Facebook, and let you go and execute and deploy. All right, we love you guys. Have an amazing rest of the week. As always, go to iTunes and rate and review this episode. This is what keeps this message in front of people. If we want to inspire so many more entrepreneurs to go out there and change their world, to gain more freedom, to gain more flexibility, to grow those finances so you can finally make the impact that you want to make in the world. That's why we're here, and we need to get the message out to more entrepreneurs to help untrap them from their businesses. All right, rate us, review. That's going to get out to more people. We love you guys. Talk soon.